Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God."
200 didn't go. 400 went, and they went to go recover everything that was taken from them. The city that they lived in, the town that they lived in, was burned down to the ground. It's on the southern part of Judah, of the kingdom of Judah. And so there they are. But by the way, at that time was governed by Achish, the king of the Philistines.
And so he was on the wrong side, but now he's wanting to go in the right direction. And as he's going in the right direction, or how God was guiding him, he finds everything taken from him and his people. And the Lord promises that he's going to recover everything. And they find this Egyptian. And isn't it amazing that they did not speculate that he was a culprit? And they didn't treat him harshly. They had compassion and concern and care for him. And what we need to be reminded is that the Spirit of Christ says, "Be good and kind to your enemies." And so this is what was taking place. He was in the Spirit of Christ. He was being moved by the Lord. They were making sure that he had what he needed for sustenance. And then notice verse 12, "And they gave him a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit, that is his physical spirit, came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights." And again, I want to remind you that when David was leaving the Philistines, there was a three-day journey for him. So God was already, this man had already fallen ill, by the way, and he was left there the same time that David was going back to Ziklag before David had found him. So what does that tell us? God was in front of David. God was making preparations to restore him, and not only his relationship with the Lord, but his relationship with the men that were following him, with the relationship with the families that had been taken. Hope, listen, what a testimony, what a story could have been told to the captors. Hey, listen, you want to hear something crazy? I mean, we were headed back. We didn't know that you had already been taken. And so by the time we got there, 3 days later, you guys were gone. But God had this Egyptian fall ill by the wayside. See, we how do we look at everything? Oh, my goodness. What a horrible thing. If there's a God, why did he allow this Egyptian to get sick? Well, he had a plan, didn't he? And that plan would be to honor and glorify him. He wouldn't have been there had he not fallen ill, had he not fallen sick. Listen, God's hands are in everything. Even if we don't see it, God's hands are in everything. Now, I will be the first one to tell you, I don't understand everything God does. Do you? There are a lot of things that I don't understand, but here's one thing I know. He loves me. Amen? And listen, not only that, but he revealed his love, and it continually reminds me that he gave us his son. He made the greatest sacrifice of all sacrifices. Wait, listen, did you hear that? He made the greatest, you could not sacrifice any more than what God did. God gave his son for the unlovable, for the ungodly. We may give our lives up for somebody that we love, but God gave up his son, and his son willingly gave up his life for those that despised him, that reject him, that were not in fellowship. Now, this is a truth that a lot of people don't understand, but the Bible tells us that we were of our father, the devil, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then listen, we had to be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us, you must be born again, and being born again gives us a new father. Amen? It takes us out of the old family and puts us into the family of God. And so now we become the children of God. How? Because we're good people? Because we do such wonderful things and we do this and we do that and the other? No, because we do absolutely nothing, and God did it all for us through his son, giving us eternal life. And so this is the Spirit of Christ. If you'll look for it, you'll see it all through the Scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, people say, oh, well, listen, that was under the law. You don't see grace there. Really, you don't see the grace of God in the Old Testament? It's all through there. And so as we see this, we find this Egyptian discovered and being helped here. And so they give him this food, and he regains his strength, and he begins to tell them that, listen, or the Scriptures really tell us that he didn't eat bread or drink any water for 3 days and three nights. So this is the Holy Spirit leading us in to understand what happened to this man. And then notice verse 13, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? This is a question he's asking him. And he says, and whence art thou? David at this point, listen, David is walking by faith. He doesn't know what this is about. He is showing compassion to a stranger. Maybe, possibly, his apparel gave away. Possibly that he was an Egyptian. But listen, he had belonged to an Amalekite, so probably he assimilated into the Amalekite type of wardrobe. So a known enemy, and so he's being kind, and David is talking with him and asking him, and he says, to whom belongest thou? So there was an indicator there that he thought he was a slave. And notice, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Now let that soak in. He's a young man. He's fallen ill. He's fallen sick. The likelihood would be unlikely of that happening to him because they had come into the spoils. They had taken food. They had taken everything from David and the surrounding areas. So they had sustenance themselves, but this was beyond their help. It was beyond what they could do for this young man. Why? Because God has a plan. God had a plan for this man, and did the Amalekites understand it? Not one bit. Had they known what God's plan was, they would have dragged a corpse with them to make sure it wouldn't come to pass. I want you to know, God wants us to know, that God still has a plan. And the world may not understand it, but God does, and he has concern and care for your life and mine. And he has a plan and a purpose for it as well, as he did for David. And so as we consider this, we find that he says, I'm an Egypt servant to an Amalekite there in verse 13. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Now, I don't know if he felt betrayed or not. He's a young guy. And look at that, I get sick and I can't help myself and they just leave me here. Now, I don't know if that was the case. Maybe they thought he was irreparable. Nothing we could do to help him. He's just weighing us down. And by the way, nobody was chasing the Amalekites. So they were not very kind and compassionate, were they? They just said, we're done with you, right? And that may have been, for many reasons, we don't know. But one thing for sure, they didn't want him around. And so David comes upon him on purpose, on God's purpose, verse 14. And he says this, we made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So he's giving a full confession. And I want you to know there's something more to this man than we understand, and we'll see that here revealed in just a moment. But he has the liberty and the freedom and the peace of mind. I mean, he was just brought back from the dead, pretty much, was he not? And I think this man knew the God of Israel because he acknowledges it that way. He surely knew who David was because he said, I want you to make a promise to me by the God of Israel. So he sure, listen, Saul had killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. No doubt, listen, David had a good reputation. All right. And so we find here that he says, well, listen, we made this invasion. We burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, listen, he didn't get angry at this man. He didn't feel vengeful towards this man. He's being moved by the Spirit of God, not by anger, not by being vengeful. But David said unto him in verse 15, canst thou bring me down to this company? Can you bring me down to this company? Do you know the way? Which way they're going? And he said, swear unto me by God. Isn't that amazing? Not a God, or gods, by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. And I will bring thee down to this company. Basically, what he's saying is, I don't want to be on their side. I'll be on yours. See, there comes a time and a place where an individual has to realize that the direction the world is headed to is in the wrong place, the wrong direction. And the only right direction is God's way. Which God, somebody might ask? The only God, the Creator, the merciful, loving God that gave us His Son to give us eternal life. There's no other name in heaven and earth, and that might make some people upset, but the truth of the matter is there is no hope of eternal life outside of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The promise from the very beginning. Search the Scriptures and you'll see truly that's the truth. How will you know that? Because God will bless and confirm that truth. Do you know, listen, I was taught about all different kinds of gods growing up. Even my teachers taught us about different kinds of gods and mythology and things of that nature. And this could be right, that could be right. But when the Lord confronted me in my sin, I knew He was the only way. You ask, how did you know that? I don't know. I just knew He was the only way. He had given me freedom like never before. No other religion can do that for you but the truth. Truly, listen, sets us free. And so here's this man being really delivered as well, being set free from bondage, physical and spiritual bondage. And notice verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. They were busy, weren't they? And so... David, listen, is brought by this Egyptian young man and the 400 men that are with him, and they're brought to the spoil. They're looking at this. But here's a thought. His army was probably not bigger than their army. No doubt this was another giant in David's life. But what gave him confidence and boldness the previous victories of the Lord in his past? See, he had dealt with the lion and the bear before he had dealt with Goliath. He had dealt with Goliath, and God had delivered him into his hands, gave him that confirmation, and all he did was faithfully follow through with what God said. And he said, my goodness, I could have never done that. I mean, listen, imagine this. Here's a giant that's 9 foot tall, Goliath, and here's this young boy. A stripling is what they call him, a teenager, no doubt. And he approached him in confidence, the giant. The giant says, today you're going to be animal food. And David says this, you come to me in the name of your gods, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whom you have defied this day. And this day will he deliver. And he ran towards him. The Bible tells us David, and he's swinging his sling, right? And of all the places to hit him was in one place that was open. Do you think David said, now let's see which way is the wind blowing? If I angle the momentum of the sling, you know, at this degree here. No, he didn't have to worry about that, did he? All he had to do was put the stone in the sling and throw it, and God would see to it that it hit its mark. See, there's a difference when we try to do things and when God does them for us. Do you know that God wants to use us exactly that way? Like a stone with a purpose to hit its mark. And all we have to do is get in the sling. Get in the will of God, trusting the Lord and not leaning to our own understanding. And David was familiar with that, so he was able to move from one victory to the next victory. Did he have failures? Did he fail the Lord and go into the wrong camp? Yes, absolutely. Was God finished with him? Did God say, I'm done with you? Never. Never. Where was David the whole time? In the hand of God. Even though he had departed for a while, God never left him. And the moment he called upon the Lord, listen to that truth, God was right there to meet him, to do business with him. And so God sets this whole thing up with the Egyptian. Now he's over there with looking at the enemy there, and there they are. They had taken over different lands of the Philistines and of Judah. And verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. That, listen, it was victory for him because God says, I'll see to it. I'll see to it. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. How many men did David go to war with? 400. How many of the enemy escaped on camels? 400. And so he was in battle all the way until the evening. But these 400, God was letting us know that, listen, there are more for us than there are against us. The whole host of heaven is for us. But even better than that, our God is for us. And so this all takes place. And these 400 flee. And as we consider this last portion of Scripture, I want you to see that God has fulfilled his promise. He says, you're going to recover all. And then we're going to look at David's spiritual understanding here that even his own men didn't understand. But look at verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Then notice this, verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Who recovered all? David recovered. Isn't that what the Bible says? David recovered all. This is important. Consider what's being said here. David recovered all. And again, in verse 18, we look at, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking. And then again, at the bottom of verse 19, and David recovered all. Now consider this, because here's a spiritual understanding that David had that his men didn't. Verse 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds, notice, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. This is important. It's David's spoil. And the reason why is because David, not the 400 men, but David was a man after God's own heart. This is important. God will not share his glory with anybody except for those that give glory to God. David would have never infiltrated God's place and said, look what I have done. God, listen, gave David the victory. Remember where he was at. He was at a place of great distress. His own men were looking at him to stone him because they were faulting him for their wives and their children being taken captive. By the way, after they had been rejected by the enemy army of the Philistines, and they're coming back home, and now they run into their hometown there, and it's all burned down to the ground, and all the families are gone. And David encouraged him in the Lord, himself in the Lord, and he talked to God. He said, Lord, what do I do? And will I overtake them? And he says, go, you're going to overtake and you're going to recover everything. And David held that promise to God. Think about the promises that God has given to his children. How shall we approach those things? In our strength? In our effort? In our commitment? In our rededication? We'll miss the strength of God. That's not how God wants us. David did not look to himself and says, I can do this. You know what he did know? Unless God builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless God does it, I will fail. Do you know that's a hard lesson for the child of God to understand? We are so prone to think about the natural self, and if we don't do it, it's just not going to happen. That is all wrong with God. How much did you have to do with your salvation? How much effort did you put in towards your salvation? If you put anything towards your salvation, you didn't get saved. Because Jesus did it all. And he said it was finished. He doesn't want you touching And he doesn't want us touching his salvation. And if he doesn't want us to touch that, do you think he wants us to get any misunderstanding, I think, and deceitfulness of thinking that we can do it? And so how did David approach this task and this trial and his confidence in God's promise? I'll deliver him to you. So this is David's spoil now. And God is honored to do that. He honors those that honor him. And so time and time again, we find here that verse 20, and David took all the flocks and all the herds which they drave before the other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. And so this is important because now we're coming into a place where the natural realm is meeting the spiritual. Let me just show you how fast we can let loose of looking to the Lord and looking to ourselves. Now, did David's men that were with him see God's intervention? Absolutely. But listen, they were not yielded to the Lord, and we're going to see this here in just a moment, the way David was. Listen, David companied with people that did not know the Lord. You know why? Because he opened up the doors to everybody, anybody who would come. Our doors are open to everybody and anybody who would come. But we want to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, but all are welcome to hear and to partake. The gospel is open to the whole world. No exclusions or exemptions. Everybody has the privilege to receive this truth. And so David opened up those doors to them. And notice verse 21, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David. Remember them? He left them by the way. They were too faint to cross over the brook Besor. And so he left them there, and the other 400 men went with him. So now they're coming back with all this spoil that the Amalekites had taken, not only from Ziklag, but from all the other areas that they were pillaging as well. So now David's got all this, all these new cattle, all this new wealth, and he's coming back. And notice what he does here in verse 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they made also to abide at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David. So where's David going to? He didn't just return back to where his to where the people were at. He's going specifically to the 200 men. Listen, this is a man after God's own heart with mercy and grace. Because don't you know, David knows, I have neglected the Lord, I have turned from him, and I've sided up with the Philistine army. I was getting ready, but for the grace of God, to fight against Israel. And God stopped me. And then when I came back to my home, it was burned down and all of our families were gone. And I called upon the Lord and he answered and he gave me this great victory. But I want you to see how quick the natural man is to rob God of his glory. Again, verse 21. And David came to the 200 men. I want you to see that. He was coming to them, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David. And to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Is he honoring these people? What did they do? They couldn't do anything. They were helpless. Wait a minute, listen. I want you to see he's got the Spirit of Christ. What can you and I do without the strength of God? What can we do without the Lord Jesus Christ for his honor and glory and our strength? Jesus said in John 15, nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And so notice this, verse 22. David came near to the people. He saluted them. Verse 22, then answered, listen, all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered. They're singing that Frank Sinatra song. Because in their minds, that's how they did it. They did it their way. But who really gave the victory? God did. God gave the victory. And now they're saying, hey, listen, we did all the work. They're not getting anything. Well, guess what? Jesus did all the work too that needed to be done. And he gave us everything. And so notice he says, again, verse 22, Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Not even the spoils that they took that belonged to them. All they get is their wives and their children, and then now you go ahead and start over. Then David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren. These are men of Belial. These were not believers. They were accompanying with David. They were David's men, and they were following David. David is showing mercy to them as well. David has the right, because these spoils are David's spoils that God had given to him. He has the right. And so he said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, in verse 23, with that which we have gained in our strength and with our wisdom and with our we're so intelligent. We're so crafty, aren't we? No. That which the Lord hath given us. Did you see that? Oh my goodness. If we're to walk with the Lord, we must humble ourselves and acknowledge that everything we have that's worth having is because God has given it to us. Do you know your whatever ability, whatever skill you have, God created you with that skill and for that skill. God has given you the intellect that you have. Whether you like it or not, amen? God has created you just the way that you are and loves you. Isn't that amazing? And wants to use you. Even, I wonder if there's somebody in life today. And there's not, because that's what the purpose of commercials are. You know what commercials are for, right? You don't have enough. You're not happy enough. This car will make you look better. This plastic surgery will, I don't know, whatever, right? But what I'm saying is, I wonder if there's somebody that would say, man, I am so perfect in every way. I know there was a song years ago, but anyway. Man, my goodness, I don't need anything. I'm just so perfect. No humility, by the way, but I'm just so perfect. I wouldn't change a single thing. But if we be honest with ourselves, there are some things that we wish were different that aren't different. But you know what? God created us just the way he wanted us, and to humble us, really, and to show us that we need him. He knew everything that was coming down the road in our lives and says, just like you are, I want you. I want to use you with all the imperfections for my honor and glory. But we just have to acknowledge them before the Lord. And that's what David was doing here. And so again, he says in verse 23, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. Remember, they said, we recovered it all. David says, the Lord has given it to us. Who hath preserved us. Look, do you hear the honor David, a man after God's own heart, is giving to God? And delivered the company that came against us into our hand. These guys really thought they were something else, these 400 guys. None of them died. Now, that's the way to go into battle, amen? If I knew that I wasn't going to get blown up, or, you know, I could go with confidence, right? Well, do you know that God wants us to know that he's right beside us, and whatever may come, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Can you imagine that? Listen, can you imagine that? Imagine, and I know some people say they're not afraid of the dark, but you can get to a dark place where it's felt like they did in Egypt, and you can get afraid of the dark. We took a tour to the Jefferson City prison that's shut down. You know, it's a museum now. And they took us downstairs to the basement where they solitary. And the guys would be down there. They'd lose their vision. I think it was temporary. I'm not sure. But they'd lose their vision because it was so black. So this guy, tour guide, they probably do it to everybody, was, you know, I guess he'd be real cute with us and take us down there and then turn the lights off on us. And he told us, I'm going to turn the lights off. I think he said, if you can't do this, don't come down there. And I shouldn't have gone down there. But anyway, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I'm telling you, it didn't take very long. I was ready to go. I was, let's go. I've seen enough of this place. But can you imagine standing against the enemies of God, the spiritual enemies, the ones that rule in the spiritual realm in darkness? That could be a frightful thing. But then the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is right there next to you with his arm around you. Would you have anything to fear? All of those that tremble and quake at the presence of Almighty God? Do you know that that's who indwells every believer and companies with us? I think sometimes we forget who's with us. And if he's with us, the question really is, who can be against us? How do we take hold of that? By faith. Interchange that word with trust, by trusting what God has said. Listen, I will tell you this. In the 35 some odd years that I've been saved, I have failed the Lord, but God, you know how many times God has failed me? Not one. Not one. I would, by your response, I would venture to say you would say the same thing. Now, I will tell you, I don't always understand how God works. And I will be the first one to tell you, God doesn't do things the way I would have them done. He doesn't. If I was God, I would do things quite differently, but I wouldn't grow much. Spiritually, I wouldn't grow. I wouldn't test myself. I wouldn't want to try myself. But it's in the valleys that we learn of God. It's in the trials that we see God's great faithfulness. And so consider this, and we're finishing up here. He says this again. Let me just recap here. Verse 23. Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. May we remember where all good things come from, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter?" That's a good thing. David's not mealy-mouthed right here. Who's going to listen to you guys? Do you see what he just did for the Lord? All that you just experienced, the Lord has done that work. Those 200 men, I don't know how many of the people of Belial, but there was probably some of the other ones that say, "Yeah, David, we were outnumbered. I mean, the guys that got away were the number that we had, and we slew them. I mean, my goodness, I was invincible. My goodness, every sling I threw, every spear, every sword hit its mark. And we defeated the enemy. My goodness, it was like you could not lose. Have you ever had a day like that where everything went right?" Amen? I don't know that I have. I had a half a day maybe, or almost a full day. Because God knows our pride. Amen? "Man, look how good I am." That's what these guys were doing. But there was another group that said, "Wait a minute. We would have never been able to accomplish what we did today if it wasn't for the hand of God on us." And so David says, who's going to listen? Verse 24, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter?" Of course God delivered. "But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." Even. Because of the mercy and grace of God, all those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. There's not going to be one that has kind of eternal life and one that has a whole lot of eternal life. God puts us all in the same family. God gives us all the same salvation. "And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day." And so David says, from this point forward, all that God gives us shall be parted alike. Isn't that something? Do you know that God wants us to rejoice when people have spiritual victory in their lives? We want to rejoice. Why? Because how is that given? By the mercy of God. Whenever we experience any good thing that comes from the Lord, we ought to honor and glorify him. "Lord, I can't do this without you." They went to battle. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Question, did it influence the 200 men that couldn't go? They just didn't have the strength. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Did it change the destination of that Egyptian young man? Did it change the lives of the wives and the children that were taken captive? Were the captives set free? Did it redirect and allow these sons of Belial to reconsider their way? How important is it for you and I to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God? God is honored and glorified by that when we give Him the glory and things take place. He says, boy, I can trust you. Could He trust David? Did He reveal Himself to David? Here's the truth. Listen, God wants to reveal Himself in a powerful way to you and me in our lives. To be the witnesses. A witness is somebody who sees something. Amen? If nothing's happening in your life, you've got nothing to witness about. I didn't say you weren't a child of God. What was David experiencing hanging out with the Philistines? Not much. Oh, I'm sorry. The loss of his family and things. He experienced that. But what happened when he turned back to the Lord? Boy, oh boy, that God opened up the floodgates. God wants us to receive everything He's promised. It brings Him glory and joy to bless your life and mine. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the promises that You give, that You reveal. Lord, that You have prepared for us. For the simple part on ours to just receive, to trust You, to believe You, and to call upon You to perform those things that You've promised. Bless the invitation. May we seek You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.